Let's take our Bibles. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John 11. John chapter 11, verses 36 to 40. The scripture says, "Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." The scripture sets forth that our blessed Lord, when he saw Mary and those with her weeping, he groaned. That's what verse 33 says. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Now what that means is he actually caused himself to be troubled, associating himself with his people and their grief. He troubled, that's what it says. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He troubled himself. Now I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 4. Hold your finger there, John. Hebrews 4, 15, 16. Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. Precious passage of Scripture we've read many times, but I want you to consider this afresh. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16. "For we have," and notice it's present, "for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was, there was a time when he walked this earth, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have not, right now, a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Right now, he knows. He knows. When he saw Mary and those with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit, associating himself with what they felt. He knows what it feels like as a human being to feel the loss of one that you love. And he asked, "Where have you laid him?" Set forth himself as the friend of sinners, actually setting forth himself to be the Son of Man. "Where have you laid him?" That's, as I said last time, that's what we would have said. "Where have you laid him?" Associated himself with his people. He knew where he was. They said, "Come and see." And the scripture says that Jesus wept. Not false tears. He troubled himself and wept just like they did. Oh, the intimacy of our Lord right now. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, He knows. Son of man, Son of God. And now this morning, we want to continue with a statement that was made by the Jews as they watched him at the tomb of Lazarus. They said, in verse 36, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." Now, I know this. They actually saw the outward manifestation of sympathy of our Lord as he beheld the effects of sin upon his people. He knew how they felt. He entered into that. He groaned in himself, troubled himself, entered in, associating himself with them. He wasn't just a stoic that didn't understand, didn't know. He willingly entered in with them. And that willingness was according to that everlasting covenant of mercy and grace to live as their federal head, to walk, yet no sin. But he walked as they did. He felt as they did. Troubled himself. He suffered the hatred of rebels against himself. He knows what his people feels like. When someone arrogantly speaks disrespectfully, he knows that. How does he know? Well, look at the next verse. "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Now here they were, speaking disrespectfully, arrogantly. Some of them said, behold how he loved them. And some of them said, well, let me ask you this. Couldn't this man, one that's opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have caused that this man wouldn't have died? I mean, if he loved him. Even we ever behold the unregenerate that is ready to openly rebuke our Lord, to speak disrespectfully to him according to those words that he speaks. Right now in this glorious gospel, the heart of the unregenerate is going to speak disrespectfully. Couldn't this man have done something? Job 33:13 says, "Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters." The Lord doesn't owe any man an explanation. Why did he choose one and leave another to himself? Because it pleased him. That's what Scripture says. Because it pleased him. Why does God pass by one and call another out of darkness? Because he chose to show mercy to whom he would. Couldn't this man have done this? This man could have done anything he wanted to do, and that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. It is sufficient for us to know that he does all things well. Whatever he does, whatever my lot is, whatever your lot is, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. John 13:7, the Scripture says, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." We walk by faith. Behold how he loved him. That's the heart of a believer. Here's the same event viewed by the unregenerate. Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man not have died? Couldn't he have done that? The Scripture says in verse 38, Jesus, therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Now here's the second time that the Scripture sets forth that he groaned. Verse 33, he saw Mary and those with her weeping, and he groaned and troubled himself, entering in with them in their hurt, in their sympathizing, and in their love for Lazarus. And he knew, and he wept with them. And now the scripture says, after he was reprimanded, and he knew exactly what they were saying. I don't doubt for one second they were over there off to the side and kind of watching. Here he is weeping, tender, kind, compassionate. Here was Mary weeping for her brother. Lord loved Mary, loved Martha, loved Lazarus. And Mary was brokenhearted, and he was brokenhearted with her. Brokenhearted with her, weeping with her. And here off to the side, where I'm sure nobody even thinks that he's going to be listening. Scripture says some of them said, oh, look at him. If he's so marvelous, he opened the eyes of the blind. I wonder why he didn't save this man. The scripture says, verse 38, Jesus, therefore, having heard what they said, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. Here he groaned as he felt and knew the antagonism of those that didn't know him. Let me tell you the merciful part of this. They meant what they said. And that attitude right there is still within the old man of every believer. My friend, don't even think that we're going to admit with any truthfulness, I never think to second guess the Lord. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Did I have to go through this? I mean, couldn't the Lord have, the one that spoke this world into existence, why am I suffering this? Why am I going through this? I love the Lord. I'm His own. Why couldn't the Lord that did all of these miracles, all of these, couldn't the Lord have spared me from this? Jesus, therefore, again, groaned in himself, experiencing in himself the contradiction of sinners against himself. The scripture says, John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. How did he know that? He experienced it. He was in all points. He knows what it feels like. He experienced and groaned in himself. I'll admit it. I will admit it, as I've done numerous times. I struggle. Well, my old man, you do too. You that know him, you do too. You struggle. You struggle trying to pray. You struggle trying to read. You're struggling trying to hear right now. How far has our minds gone since we got here this morning? There's not one person starting right here that has absolutely, without any deviation, concentrated perfectly on what's been said. My mind's been all over the place. And here's that old man right here. Here's some right here without a new man. And here's this new man with that old man that still wars and strives. And he entered into it. And he knew, he knows what it feels like to feel that antagonism against himself. He experienced the feeling, the thoughts of that hatred, yet without sin. and groaned in himself as he came to the grave. He didn't just walk this earth being insensitive. He felt as we felt. He experienced as we experienced all the effects of that old man. See, if he didn't, we could truthfully say, Lord, you just don't understand. You just don't know what it feels like to have to struggle like this. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. That's why we have a great high priest. A great high priest. One that's able. One that knows. One that's entered in. He knows how his people feel. He came to the grave. A stone lay upon it. Lazarus was really dead. He was dead. He was dead. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. Take ye away the stone. This man that made the blind to see, could he have not caused that even this man could not have died? Yeah, if he were pleased to do so. He could have also spoke to the rock and told the stone to move it. Move. That stone would have moved. It had been gone. He spoke this world into existence. He made it out of nothing. He made it out of nothing. Take ye away the stone. It is the Lord's way to use human instruments. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. Now I'll tell you this. I have just enough sense to know that I cannot preach eloquently enough. I don't have enough finesse. I know that. To regenerate a sinner. I don't have the ability to talk you into something. I cannot regenerate a sinner. But I can tell you this. By the grace of God, I can preach the gospel. I can pray. I can ask the Lord. He said when you pray, well, the unregenerate would say, well, if he's willed it to do so, what difference does it make? What we say or pray for? What do, I mean, if he's going to do as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants, why do we have to even pray? Why do you have to hear the gospel? Because it pleased him through the foolishness of preaching. And when you pray, and Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation. God Almighty has been pleased to use human instruments. And He's going to accomplish His will. His will is going to be done. But I'll tell you this. He said, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the gospel of God's grace, the Word of God. I can attend the hearing of the truth. I can't make it effectual. But I can be where God's honored. They can't raise Lazarus from the dead. But the Lord told them to move the stone away. I'll tell you this. Ask God Almighty to do whatever He's pleased to do. Pray, search the Scriptures, hear the truth preached, do everything that you possibly can do, and then realize this. When you shall have done all these things which you're commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And don't put any confidence in your flesh. Because you didn't accomplish anything. Almighty God does all things well. Move the stone. And hear our Lord who was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. And it was a cave, the scripture says. It was a cave, and a stone was rolled on him. There was a stone there. I want you to remove the stone. You're going to smell the stench of what a man is dead. You're going to smell him. You move the stone. You smell the death of Lazarus. And Martha, immediately, whenever the Lord says, move this stone, she voiced what I'm sure everybody was thinking. Ever smell an animal's dead, it's out there, and you get a whiff of it, and you think, ooh. The Lord was going to let them smell. This is death. This is what it smells like. You move the stone. Lord, he's been dead 4 days. And here we see again our weakness of faith. Left to ourselves, I'm telling you, we would do nothing but just ever put an obstacle before Almighty God's glory. Always ready. How quickly does that old nature raise its head? Jesus saith unto her, verse 40, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Our Lord's statement to Martha probably refers back when he told her, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. By faith, his people were going to see his glory, his opinion, his thinking. That's what Moses asked him. Show me your glory. Lord, what do you think? And now Martha, Mary, and those that the Lord was pleased to reveal to himself, they were going to see it. Here they were going to set forth the raising of a dead man. Raising from the grave one that has truly been dead for 4 days. One that stinks in himself. But all of these beautiful pictures set forth the glory of God in the regeneration of his people. This is what we are by nature. We've been dead longer than 4 days, but we're dead, plumb dead, in trespasses and sins. Remove the stone. Lord, what? Remove the stone. You preach the gospel. You go all the world, preach the gospel. Do what you can. Put an article in the paper, if that's what you can do. Put it on sermon audio. Preach. Preach the truth. And I'll bless you. Remove the stone. And put no confidence whatsoever in your ability. Salvation's of the Lord. Said I not unto you that you'll see the glory of God? The opinion of God in the raising up from the dead of sinners who in themselves stink. Sinners saved by the grace of God. That Almighty God would call one out of darkness. What a smell of life. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Forgive us where we speak disrespectfully in our hearts against you and question you. You're the Lord. You're the potter with the clay. We are what we are by your grace. For Christ's sake, amen.